Good morning, everyone. Welcome. My name is Bunny.
I'm Sheldon. I'll be up there.
This is Sheldon, Pastor Sheldon. He is our Pacific District Supervisor. And yes. And we get to team teach today. We have been doing ministry together for about approximately 28 years. Yes.
Since you were born.
No, I wish.
28 is.
I have kids older than that.
I know you do.
But we also get to serve in the local church as well. He is our senior pastor, and I get to serve alongside of him with an amazing team on the Big Island of Hawaii. So we represent Pacific District. But even more so, we represent Christ. And so I just want to welcome you to our workshop, our meaning you and us together, because we are all still learning and together and figuring out how do we equip and disciple the next generation. And this is the question that is ever so popular every single year. What do we do with these kids? Mm-hmm. How do we get kids to follow Jesus? And we're hoping that we have a method, we have a principle, we have some tools. And we're really praying that during this time we get to not just be hearing from us, but we get to hear from one another.
Yeah.
So we're just going to thank the Lord for his presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Abba, for your sweet presence. Thank you for your words and your wisdom and your creativity. Thank you so much for the men and women that you have called your children and brought us into a place where we get to pour out what you're pouring into us. As we not just become disciples or be disciples, but we also create and make disciple makers. So we thank you for this time. We thank you for those here. We thank you for those even listening in the future. May your word resonate and may it stick and reign true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to do a lot of conversation, but we're also going to be talking also. But what I need is someone who is really good at puzzles. Someone who's really good at puzzles. I'm not going to ask you to make a puzzle. I'm just going to ask you to stack those boxes. That's all you got to do. Stack the boxes. Pretty simple. Just to see kind of what you did. Come forward. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to stack these boxes. By the way, thank you guys for serving and loving
yes.
the next generation. You showing up here already is like you're way ahead of the game. You're intentionally saying to the Lord, I'm in. And yes. I want to do what you're asking me to do, and I want to raise the next generation. What is your name, sir?
Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel. Okay, Daniel, just stack the boxes. There's no instruction but that. So welcome to youth ministry as adults.
And, you know, and like Pastor Sheldon was saying, we're very conversational. We're very relational. This is how we want to team teach. And so it's okay to participate. Mm-hmm. And we're talking story. We're the family. We're the body. And that's kind of how we're going to take on this workshop. And so at any time.
Yeah. He's like, wait a minute. No, just go.
Just build what you think that's supposed to look like.
Yeah, just
we have five boxes here.
Yeah, it's five boxes.
Ranging from big to small. And we want to stack them.
Oh, okay.
How
not bad,
we
not
think
bad.
They should be stacked.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're talking about the next generation and how to equip them. You're going to have so many different methods. Everyone has a different method. What we're going to talk about is neuroscience in disciple making.
Nice.
How are we transformed? What does the Bible tell us? What does Romans 12 tell us? We are transformed by the renewing of our metanoos, that changing of the mind. So if you know a little bit about neuroscience and brain activity, you know we have these things called neurons. So for some of us, we have a great job. Great job. Looks good. Oh, with that too? Okay, you want
what's funny is that we've done one workshop already, and now we're trying to remember. Wait, what did we say first, and what do we do?
No. It's okay. I have my notes here. Uh-huh, see what's what five C's order should be and why. So they'll break up in groups and do that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you can turn it if you want. That's fine. Yeah. Wait a minute. Are you a perfectionist? Maybe.
No, because he's putting the Velcro. And so we want to see what you think is. We have some five C's here.
Yeah.
And we just want to know what he thinks, what those five C's might be.
Yeah, so now you have those five C's on those
on the table.
And then so you can put those five C's in on top of those boxes. What order do you think they go on? Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. But what we also want you to do in just a bit is you're going to need to break up in groups of five. He's going to take care of that. Break up in groups of five, and you're going to discuss these five C's, which is what he's putting up. You have competency, character, community, Christ, and calling. So once he puts that up, you're going to see it. And then you're going to ask each other what order they should be in and why. What do you think the order should be in and why?
Yeah, I think we can break up in five, but just break up into groups, okay? If you know the five C's, like Pua, then you're not in a group. Just kidding. you can go ahead and get into groups because we want to build. Also, part of what we do is networking. Part of what we do is connecting and being together. Because we cannot, just because we come from different cultures, different places, doesn't mean that we can't have conversation around the same topic. Okay, so let's have conversation. If you are comfortable, I'm not going to force you to get into a group, but if you are comfortable to do so.
Well, no, we should.
Go ahead and go into a group. You're going to see the difference between the two of us. Like we said, we have been serving for nearly 30 years together.
We do this with the youth. We make them go in groups.
So we can go ahead and get into groups.
Of five?
And then of whatever number, whatever you're comfortable with. And then think of the five C's and think of the order you think it should be in and why. And now I want to give it a little step further, which I think we skipped this step. We've come up with, not we've come up with something, but there's a method. There's like a recipe that we use, a formula, if you will, that is basically the framework on how to make disciple makers. And it is called the five C's. And what would be fun, this is why we thought, hey, let's just do a fun activity so you guys can go ahead and get into your groups. And someone can be the one that's going to take down the notes and then choose a brave spokesperson, because then we'll ask you to share what those five C's are and why. But think of it as a recipe, okay? Think of, no matter where your kitchen may be located, okay? No matter where you are, like we're in Hawaii, things are very different. Our culture is very different. So the method or the things that are used maybe here in D.C. may not necessarily work with the youth or kids in our culture back in Hawaii. But what doesn't change is the recipe. Okay, so this is the recipe, if you will. If this is the recipe on how to make disciples and make disciple makers. This is what the workshop is about today. And how we can be more effective in using that recipe. So go ahead and talk it amongst yourselves, and then we can see. Maybe 2 minutes.
It's like, I'm going to win $25,000 if I get this correct. Yeah. So call. Yes. And let me just do. I'll put it on. Let me just do this. I'll put it on here. Yeah. I'll just put. Wait a minute. Let me just do this. So, calling, competency.
Yeah. Once he puts it up, you can see the C's. So just put it anywhere. It's fine.
Yeah. What you think? He's like, no, I don't want to get it wrong. You already got it wrong, so don't worry about it.
No, you're good. You're fine. Put it up, and then we can see it.
There you go.
And then you guys can talk about it in your groups, and then tell us. We'll give you guys about 2 minutes. So Pastor Sheldon's going to come around to each group, and we're going to get started, and we're just going to share what you think are the five C's in priority.
Yes.
And why?
State
your name, where you're from, and then share the five C's.
Okay, I'll start with this group right here because you guys look like a healthy group of people. So spokesperson, just someone that would just talk about what you just did. So the five C's, you're being voluntold. So name, where you're from, and then your five C's.
Okay, so I'm Amanda Frederick. We're from Concord, North Carolina at Abundant Life Church. And so for us, we kind of talked about, similar to how he structured it up there, would be kind of Christ as like the firm foundation. Then next, kind of building that community. From there, kind of developing the character. Then you get your calling and then competency to then go out in the world.
Wow. Well done. That's so good. And we're watch each other's perspective. We're all going to have different perspectives. Okay, this group. This guy right there? Okay. Colby.
Yes. Colby, I'm from South Boston, Virginia, like on the southern border. So we, obviously Christ first, build your foundation off of Christ. Then we have calling, and then community, character, then competency. So we'll see how that goes with everybody else.
Yeah, no, I love all our different perspectives. I'll go with this group right here. And Lowry, are you going to be the spokesperson? Okay.
Okay, our thought process, of course, Christ the foundation. And then we actually put character next because you have to be solid, you know, in the Lord. And, of course, it develops. He works on you. But then we put calling because everything flows from that. What has he said? What has he called you to do? Gives you your direction. And then we put community and competency last. We had community higher, and then we said, we can't be it all. It's only God can be it. But with community, you're developing the gifts. Everyone's gifts are being developed. So we don't have to have the competency alone in one person's gifts or skills. We're still debating several, but that was the thought process.
No, that's good.
Oh, that's so good.
I love listening to the why and how you guys put things together. I love that.
Thank you so much. We actually had an amazing discussion. All opinions were differing. But we do agree with everybody that Christ is for our foundation. Everything comes and flows from it. The second one, most of us agree that would be calling because we believe that we're all born with a calling, right? Before even we were born, we already had a calling before we were in the mother womb. The third one will be community because that's something that we build, right? And the fourth one is the character because we believe the character is a build throughout whole our life. Like it's a never-ending process. We all becoming like a Christ throughout the whole our life. And the last one is a competency because we as pastors and leaders never feel good enough, right?
Thank you. We always feel like we need to learn more. Yeah, we're not good enough. Okay, what about this group? This is, okay.
Yeah, my name's Julie and I'm from Berlin, New Hampshire. And I got designated spokesperson because I was doing all the talking, I think. So anyways, we put Christ first, and then we put community second. And now I forgot what we put. Character. Because Christ is our foundation, and then you come together as community, kind of like the cross. And then we don't get there alone, so we know that we need that community that helps us to grow, and, you know, iron sharpens iron. And then we know that God is always not going to keep us where we are. He's going to build our character. And then we put competency fourth, and then calling, because we liked where he put calling, because it's like your goal is towards that upward calling.
That's really good. Thank you.
Well,
that's good conversation. And that's true. We're still talking about it. It's not just one thing. Okay, this group, you have a spokesperson? We're a hot mess. We're in next generation. You have to be a hot mess.
So my name's Crystal. I'm from Louisiana. And so we spent a good bit of our time just almost defining the words because we're so far from each other geographically that they all mean something different in the way that we think. Yeah. So like for some of us, community meant small groups and community within the church, and some of us, community means outreach. So like they're completely different on a scale depending on how we define them. But we all kind of agreed that Christ is your foundation. And then from there, we were all discussing in our local context how our bridge work would go up. Does that make sense? So we really didn't get too far.
Let me just
before I forget, definition is key, because when you're talking about next gen or you're talking about something, you know, like your definition, like I'm a 90s kid, right? My definition might be very different than the kids today. So bringing clarity on like what you mean by that helps when you're looking at the recipe. Like if you're going to cook something and you're like, well, okay, it says this, but what is this? And you don't even know what it is. You can't substitute it with what you think it is. You know what I mean? Just because salt looks like sugar, And I'm like, well, I don't know what is what. Oh, I'm just going to add this. It'll change the whole thing at the end. So very good point.
And part of it, too, like with recipes, if you're looking at baking, sometimes, well, most of the time, it has to be in a specific order or else it doesn't come out the same. Yeah. Oh, all the time. Yeah. I'm not a baker. I eat.
It needs to be specific.
But without the eaters, who would the bakers be? Right? So, yeah. So.
Hi, everyone.
Which came first? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, let's not get distracted. We have limited time.
Hi, I'm Chidi from Apex, North Carolina. We had an amazing conversation about, and we just said there are no wrong or right answers because you could look at it through a different perspective and to your experiences and also what you know. So we said, of course, Christ is our firm foundation, and he plugs you into a community because you can't do anything all by yourself. And when you're in your community, then he begins to work on your character as a person. Because as you work with people, definitely your character is going to be grown, and the Lord is going to work through your character, through the people around you. And then we said, and when you have that character, then he calls you, because now you're attuned to the needs of the people around you, and now the Lord can kind of decide, or you can now decide what the Lord has called you to be. And then we said, now the next is competency. So that's what we kind of agreed with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and what? Yeah, we'll get to that. Sorry, I was going to go with neuroscience. Oh, you're with that group? Oh, who's your spokesperson? Oh, Pua. Here we go.
Pua. Oh, nice.
Awesome. My name's Pua from Hawaii and from New Hope. After protest and a riot, we came to this conclusion that Christ is our firm foundation. And then we believe that it's built on community, because we just are talking about just how the disciples, that in community that we get to be disciples together. And then the third one was calling. We just believe that, of course, Christ calls us, but then we also believe that in community, people can identify gifts and the things that we're called to before we sometimes even know it. And then because we've been called, and I also think of the scripture that the Lord uses the fools to shame the wise, and so we're fools. And so that's why we need character before we can be launched into our competency. So that's what I got.
Good.
Thank you. Okay, you're the spokesperson. There we go. Okay.
So I'm Caleb from Restoration in Huntsville. We put Christ first because we think you need to be Christ-centered, Christ-grounded, have a personal relationship with Christ, and be able to understand and articulate the gospel. After that, we put community because we grow in community and want to be community-driven. Third, we put character because character is developed in community. Iron sharpens iron. Fourth, we put calling because our calling is discerned and developed in community with others. And last, we put competency because once you know your calling and have a grounded character, your competency can be developed to your specific calling.
Good job.
Yes, so nice. Good. Okay, my spokesperson, yes, sir.
First and foremost, I just like to say our group represents a lot of ideals about this topic. So, the three of us, so like majority,
Speak into the mic.
Excuse me. Testing.
Yeah.
Okay. So the most agreed upon, at least within our group, was Christ first, because before anything, you have to be founded in Christ and have that personal relationship. And then afterwards, you enter or are guided. Somehow, some way, you end up in a community where you begin to know other people and you begin to know yourself because you're part of that community. And afterwards, when you begin to know that community, you know the problems outside and within, then you can turn that mirror on yourself, and God will help you, or Christ will help you to work on that character. And the character is what gives you that internal foundation to then increase your competence, because before you can increase your competence, even if it's a competence you already have, if your character degrades, your competence can and will degrade with it. And then finally, at the end of it all, after the character and competence, the culmination of all the things you've been through on this journey with Christ will result in your calling, where he'll continue to perfect his work in you, and you'll go out to do greater, wonderful things. So.
Awesome. Good job. I don't know about you, but just listening to everyone's perspective, and even in your group, how many of you guys felt like you had to kind of, like everyone had their own viewpoint. Everyone had their own perspective. And this is key when you want to be effective leaders in the next generation, is understanding that it's not just about your perspective. A lot of times is if you want to gain perspective, like, okay, I'm just going to use our height, okay?
Why not? There's a disparity in it, and it's obvious.
So I'm 6'1".
And I'm not.
Yes. Yeah. And so a lot of times, and so to, for us to bring this into like a practical way of thinking, because a lot of times it has to do with our mentality, is if we're trying to reach a generation we know nothing about, try to get to where what they see in their level. So we're really good friends, and we've been working together for many, many years.
28.
And there's a lot of times where I'll say, oh my gosh, like this recently happened. This is
Maui.
Yeah, we're in Maui, and we're with some of our pastors there and loving on our pastors after the fires. And we're walking through something. I was like, wow, the ocean is so nice. And he's like, what ocean? I'm like, right there. And I looked at him and said, oh, wait, yeah, you're right, wait. I went like this. Oh.
And there's a fence, a wooden fence.
I'm like,
what are you talking about? She's the ocean. She's like, the ocean right there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
I had to look under because the fence was like 2 feet high. So bad.
But it's perspective, right?
Theirs was wrong.
And so in order for us to not, because if we think that everybody has to see, like, what do you mean? What if I stood there? It would make no sense if I said, what are you talking about? You can't see the ocean. I can clearly see the ocean. Yes, well, it doesn't make sense. But yet we do this in ministry. Mm-hmm. We are unwilling to come down and look at other people's perspective, look at other people's culture, look at other, like, and this is an entirely different generation than ours. And so just taking off our, like, it's not about my kingdom. God did not say, go and build, therefore, your kingdom. It is his kingdom. His will be done. And in order for me to do his will, I got to get out of my kingdom and step into his kingdom. And in his kingdom, he's on the throne, not me. Therefore, it's what he says. So wherever I'm positioned, whether it's with the babies in the nursery, whether it's with kids or young adults, or maybe demoted with adults, you know, I have to say, Lord, what is it that you want from me, and am I willing? Once I'm not willing, guess what? I'm now in my kingdom. If it's about me, I start building my kingdom, and God, although will not come into my kingdom. It's his kingdom and his will. And so just knowing that we can have different ideas, different perspectives, but this is what we're talking about, is the actual recipe on being disciple makers. Like myself have to be a disciple before I can make a disciple maker, because disciples aren't just born. So what we're going to do now is, with what you guys said, we're going to put this in order, and then Pastor Sheldon will take it from there.
So you know how we talk about, well, I'm sure many of us drive. On the dashboard to your car, you have these thing called gauges. What are the gauges there? What are they for? What are the gauges for on your dashboard? Tells you what's happening in there. What was it? For health of the car? Yeah, so if your oil light is on, what should you do? You should, but we pull out the fuse because we don't like the light being on. So, and when our gas gets towards E, what do? We should go to the gas station, but many of us keep driving until the light comes on. So the dashboard to our car tells us the health and condition of our car. So do these five gauges for our life. It tells us the health and condition of our life. So when it comes to the health and condition of us, yes, Christ needs to be first. So because Christ is first, after Christ comes our community. Now, what we're going to show is based on neuroscience. It's based on neuroscience because we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then after, you can do it. Yeah. So after Christ comes community. After community, because unless we have community, we won't be able to build our character. It's within our community that our character is built. Think about our character. Someone who doesn't know us would grumble with you about your ungodly character. They'll grumble with you. But your best friend will pull you on the side and say, hey, bunny, that's not you. Come on, you're better than that. I know, I just couldn't take it anymore. They were being obnoxious. They're teasing me because I'm tall and you're not. Her character, because of our friendship, I'm concerned about. Not people who don't know you. That's why community is very important. Community is going to help you build your character. Your own family. That's why as pastor's kids, right? Sometimes there's a stereotype that says pastor's kids go astray because they see the pastors at home. So they see their parents, who are pastors, character not lining up with Christ. So it confuses them. But out of our character comes our calling. Interesting that our calling is up here, not right after this. Many are called, few are chosen. Why? Why are few chosen? Probably because of their community and character. We've seen many people, we know they're called, but we can't choose them. We know they're called, but we're all called to Christ. We're all called to Christ. Sometimes we confuse and misconstrue calling with what we do, which is competency. Competency is up here because, and we said it earlier, we're never good enough. At what point do we all arrive? Even the most eloquent speakers that communicate very well, they themselves keep improving. Our competency must be up here because without Christ, we can do absolutely nothing. So this is the kind of the neuroscience behind disciple making.
So yeah, so this formula here and recipe is based on neuroscience. I loved how everyone had their whys. And everyone's whys is accurate and correct. When we build off of Christ, everything else it can go deep. It has to do with our relationship with Jesus. Now, before we can make disciple makers, what does this look like in me? How many of you have ever asked, like, or have gone somewhere and someone was based on what you can do before they even ask you if you have a relationship with Jesus, or not even a relationship with Jesus? How is your relationship with Jesus? Just because I'm attending church doesn't mean I actually have an authentic relationship with Jesus. I have known Jesus because I was raised in the church, but I had no idea who Jesus was. And so when I started ministry, I think I was like 19, 20 years old, and it wasn't my idea. It was the pastor's idea because they had no one for the kids. And I had recently, like I was that, they knew who I was, and I was a turbulent kid. Like I was, you know, a rebellious teenager. But then I'd come to Christ. I'd come back. So then pastor was like, great, you can love our youth. He was correct. I just didn't have a relationship with Jesus. But nobody bothered to ask me. So what they did was they went, you can meet with the kids. This became my foundation. So I can meet with I can do this. Yeah, I can hang out with the kids. I didn't even open a Bible. I just literally hung out with the kids. I was like, yeah, what do you guys want to do? You know, I just like, okay. And it was maybe 6 months later, I was like, hey, you're a PK, right? What does your dad tell you? Like, share with everybody. You know what I mean? And so a lot of times we build on competency. What can you do? Oh, you can sing? Oh my gosh, you have the most beautiful voice. You should join the worship team. Mm-hmm. So you join the worship team because you have an amazing voice. But nobody had the time to ask about whether or not they are. You can be saved, right? Everybody is saved, but is he Lord? Is he King? Or are you operating in your kingdom? Because it will not work effectively or for the long game. We are in this for the long game. We're not in this. You have a question? It is.
Get there. And yes. You are correct.
I want to, because I feel like that is the Holy Spirit, maybe we need to land there real quick. In the beginning, when God said, I'm going to create them in our image, mm-hmm. That was who?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when that happens, that was called authentic relationship. That's the only time that we're unified. When God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit are unified, they're looked at as one. When we as a body are unified together with him, we are looked at as one. And we cannot do that in our own kingdom. We cannot do that outside of Christ. The reason why God even sent Christ is because we did not have it together. And we were on our way building, thinking that we had to perform to get to God. We had to do all these things. And what's sad is that we still sometimes believe that. And we forget about our deep, authentic relationship with Christ. The deeper our relationship with Christ becomes, the more unified we are with what God initiates, because he's the initiator. Jesus helps us bring our emotions, which is the five gauges, brings us into unity, and the Holy Spirit now says, okay, now I can release. But we cannot do this when we have it backwards. It's like what I said in the beginning, you can have the recipe, but if I do it out of order, it's not going to come out. It may taste similar, but I don't even know what these ingredients are, because I think I'm just an amateur chef versus an actual chef that has learned and understands the kitchen. Very two different things you're going to get. We are making disciple makers, not disciples, but disciple makers. That's going to be our bigger reach. So a lot of times when we have these things, we can build competency, and then, oh, Bunny, you're really good with the kids. Wow, that must be your calling. So then they go, oh, okay, you know what? Let me put that on you. You're called to be a youth pastor. Nobody has asked me, because they're assuming that on my spare time, I'm in the Word. I'm with Christ. They're assuming that because my parents are this phenomenal couple that loves the Lord, it speaks in tongues, does all these things, that their daughter does all of that too. There's a big, huge assumption in that we have as a church, that just because people are coming, that this is where they're at, because our perspectives are wrong, or we're looking because we're thinking, just fill, we need this spot filled. We just need a body rather than a person that's going to love on these kids correctly and teach them how to be disciple makers as well. So when we start building, and I think I didn't get, nobody cared about my character at all. Then this is no fault to them. This is how we were trained. Right. And then they were like, hey, we got to surround Bunny with good people because she's nuts. And
which means crazy in our culture.
Yes, crazy. And so we started to build up. And it wasn't until way later when I'm like, hey, what do I do? Oh, well, just teach the Word. I am 19 years old. You're telling me. So what it told me is that you actually don't value the leaders that are the next church. We're only valuing the church right here, rather than also including the kids that will eventually be or not be there at all. And so we started to build, and then maybe much later it was like, hey, where's Christ in all of this? Oh, he's there. But if I'm still building on what I can do, when I burn out, guess what happens? Everything else falls. When I'm done, everything else is gone. And that's why so many people leave. So what was our foundation in the beginning? If it's not Christ, when Christ is our foundation, even when these things topple over and may be out of order, we can rebuild because of the foundation.
And here's what is pretty interesting. And which comes to that question of Holy Spirit, because we are a Spirit-led people. Many of our churches still operate like this because of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you were to keep that in whatever order, we can still do church. He never said to do church. What was his command to us before he ascended? Go therefore and make disciples. We're not supposed to build the church. Who's supposed to build the church? Jesus. Christ builds the church. So we can put this in any order and build church. There are churches that are operating without the Holy Spirit. So this neuroscience is God-given. He created us this way. It has to be Christ first. It has to be him first. Without the power of Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, without him, we have absolutely nothing.
And we have our kingdom. That's it.
We have our own kingdom. And it's interesting that when we look at competency, we want gifts. We want how good they are. You can speak so well. Can you pray next week? Can you pray? Because you pray so well. Like they're good at something. But we never asked him, how's your relationship with Jesus? Gifts can only take us to where character can't hold us. So when we only operate in how good we are, we become America's Got Talent.
Ooh, that's good.
We can only go so far. So when it comes to the neuroscience, we're only transformed by the renewing of our mind. That in itself is proven. So when it's the five C's and our community helps us and our character and so forth, Christ is the only way. It has to be because of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about making disciple makers, it's not just disciples. It's making disciple makers. We all know what is in 2 Timothy 2:2, right? This is Paul telling Timothy, here it is, Timothy. I'll simplify it for you. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. In other words, you can see that this has been proven. You've heard me say these things, but now you've seen these things. People have been confirming these things. So here's what you have to do. Teach these truths to other trustworthy people. We could have stopped there because many of us stop there in discipleship. That's what we do for many of us. We have discipleship classes, but we stop there. But then he says, no, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. That key component is what we're talking about. How do we make disciple makers? Disciples aren't found. They're made. Someone has to make a disciple to make a disciple. It has to be two-tiered. That's the only way. In fact, when Jesus sent them out, they sent them out how? Two by two. Why? Why two? I used to think, oh, because if one falls, the other can help them up. Two are stronger than one, which is true. It's accurate. But I wonder if Jesus sent them out two by two because of relational value. I'm teaching about the gospel, the most important message for all of eternity. I'm going to leave it in the hands of sinners in pairs. In relationship. Discipleship does not happen without relationship. It just doesn't happen. You have to have relationship. Why? Because that's who God is. God is a relationship. As they go out two by two and preach the gospel, imagine this, that people are hearing what they're saying, but they're watching who they are. Imagine if Pastor Bunny and I were preaching the gospel, but behind the stage, behind the doors, I'm blaming her for something. Well, what's wrong with you? You didn't do it correctly. You should have done it this way. And we're grumbling. Now, the people we just talked about salvation to, who are gripped by the gospel, see us grumbling. The gospel is now weakened, nullified because of our relationship. Isn't it true that the majority of us that in our churches get the most pushback and probably the most grumbling from Christians, not non-believers? Like it's with each other. We can preach something from the pulpit that's very sensitive and Christians will come at us. But the non-believers are on their knees calling out to Jesus Christ. It's the non-believers that are, I want Jesus, but it's us who have a problem with each other because of our character. We have it backwards, but community, we're supposed to support one another, encourage each other, and pass them on to others. So the question is, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? We can say, like, what, follower of Jesus. Disciple is someone who learns from Jesus. Disciple is someone who knows Jesus. And we have these different terms. Some of you know Jesse Cruikshank. She's a neuroscientist, and she has a book called Ordinary Discipleship. And in Ordinary Discipleship, she does talk about what a disciple is. And so she states it this way, that a disciple is someone who chooses to be changed by their relationship with Jesus. Like you choose to be changed. Have you ever had an aha moment? So an aha moment is when new neural pathways are being formed in our brain. Neural activities. Oh my goodness, I didn't know that. I didn't even think about that. And the reason why God designed us that way is so that we build a new neural highway, superhighway, so that we continuously do that. When we learn something, that's the difference between autobiographical memory and semantic memory. Semantic memory, I memorized the presidents of the United States when I was in the second grade. Do I know them now? Absolutely not. I haven't used that in years, decades. But do I remember when I was in the first grade when my teacher encouraged me? I know exactly what she said word for word. Why? Because there's an autobiographical memory. There is a life experience. We remember more life experience than scripture memory. Scripture memory can give us information, and that's fine. But when you have a life experience, like the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus with Jesus, remember what they said? When he appeared, then he disappeared. Were not our hearts burning? They experience something with Jesus that is life-changing. Why? Because now there's a new neural activity that is happening. And they had to tell people, so much so that they were willing to die. So that's a disciple, someone who chooses. So what is a disciple maker? What's a disciple maker? This is where it gets really good. A disciple maker is a disciple who lives changed. You live changed by Jesus, and journeys with others for the intentional, spirit-led purpose of helping them be changed by their relationship with Jesus too. Notice that it's not me judging them. It's not me saying what you're doing is wrong. It's helping them to come to that realization. Tell me Jesus didn't do this very well with Judas. Judas did do what he did out of remorse and out of just being emotionally driven, probably. But what was Judas? What was Judas before he was called? And what did he do? Judas was a thief. He was a thief. That's what it stated. Judas was a thief. What did Jesus put Judas in charge of? The money. How's that? It's like, this guy's a thief. What is he going to be in charge of, Jesus? Put him in charge of the treasury. The what? The treasury. The money? Yeah. That's what he's going to be in charge of. Why did Jesus do that? He was a thief. Jesus knew he was a thief, but Judas didn't know he was a thief. What Jesus didn't do is say, Judas, you know, I want you to follow me, but you're a thief, so I can't put you in charge of the money. You're a thief. But you can do announcements. You can do announcements. And then as you build up, then you can get closer to the money. Jesus let Judas find out, oh, I'm a thief. So when you come alongside of someone, we love them to a place where they come to us and be like, man, I'm a thief. Tell me about that. Tell me how that makes you feel. Man, what Christ did for me. And we might not even see the fruit. Jesus was with his disciples for 3 years. What was he doing for 30? Growing up with wisdom and stature. But isn't it true that Jesus was also building relationships? For 30 years. That's why he could tell his disciples, go to the other side, go get the donkey. And if someone asks you, what are you doing? Tell them what? The Lord needs it. Hey, Bunny, can you go to my neighbor's house and go get the bike? And if they ask you, what are you doing? Just say, Sheldon needs it. I've been next to my neighbors for 30 years. They know. They know you. So relationship is so important when it comes to discipleship, disciple making. And the only way to do this is together.
We cannot do anything on our own. When we do it on our own, we operate siloed. When we are siloed, we're not unified. We're not unified. We're not doing it the way God has intended it to be. That's that simple. Now, everything can, it's going to look different. Like I said, the context will change. But when we all have the same recipe, and we're, doesn't matter what kitchen we're in, we're following the same recipe, we will create the same thing. And as the movement, as the body of Christ, when we're saying, hey, Lord, if you're calling us to have a deep relationship with you, I cannot reach someone else, let alone the next generation who can see right through smoke. If I am not authentic, if I am not consistent, then I will not be effective. And the only way that I can be authentic is if I model and I pick up my cross and follow Jesus. I love the analogy. One of my favorite visuals that I have, when I went to Israel for the first time, I remember going into the garden and I just was like blown away. And I'm standing there and I have my hand on this olive tree, and all of a sudden I just got this picture of Jesus who's crying out to his Father and is saying, if there's another way, right? If there's another way, let it be. But if not, then yes. I think about that, like, what is God asking of me? What is he asking of me? And there are some times that's really hard. Like, is there another way, Lord? Because I don't know if this is going to work. This is why if I don't have a deep relationship and authentic relationship with Christ, then I won't know the Father's voice. And then I won't need the Holy Spirit, because then if I'm so good at something, then I won't need. This is why we say sometimes in America is a lot harder, because we have the resources necessary and we just forget about the power of the Holy Spirit, which is, I'm glad we brought that up, because that's the authentic relationship. And I'm thinking, this right here, in order for me to be a disciple, I have to live the changed life through Jesus. And that only Jesus brings transformation. Anyone can change if they're motivated. Anyone can change. But I'm created in a certain way, in a certain image. And if I'm not being used in the way I was created, the way that the Father created me to do, then I'm not effective. I can only be effective in outside of his calling. I often use, I don't know, I mean, a lot of you may, I use a hair straightener, okay? I have a hair straightener. If I don't plug it into the source of power, then it can't be used for a hair straightener. But it can be used as a doorstop. It can be used as a paperweight. It can be used to ward off something, you know? But it cannot be used for a hair straightener unless it's plugged into the source. We must be plugged into the source in order for us to be effective and to be used, because we have been given gifts. We have been given talents. We have been given the proper resources to work together, but we haven't all been given everything. Like Pastor Sheldon's very good at coming up and doing a whole presentation without notes. I, on the other hand, must say, what are we talking about today? What's the direction that we're going? We're very two different people. But when we operate in our gifts together, we are more effective. That is the body of Christ. That no matter where we are, doesn't matter what kitchen you're cooking in, are we following the same recipe, the word of God? Are we in love with Jesus? And are we out of our kingdom and in his kingdom? Because in his kingdom, now this may sound harsh, we have no rights. Because but we have privileges. Because now we're in freedom. That's true freedom. We get to be in his kingdom. And God's like, I own everything. Go for it. You need something, call on me. Because that's the first model of relationship. The model of relationship came from God himself. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And that's authentic relationship. And we can have authentic relationship with him and with one another. So when the deeper our relationship with Christ, we start to surround ourselves with people that push us towards Christ and not our own ideas, right? We can hold space with one another and hear each other. And then because we have deep relationship with Jesus, we can start to build godly character. And we can go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then we can call things, identify things out of each other, encourage each other. And then we say, okay, let's go for it. And then the Holy Spirit just blows and we're released. and we start to build because it's His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Whenever we look at effectiveness, right? Jesus had how many disciples? 12. But He had His inner core, which were how many? 3. But He really built upon Peter. We can only disciple so many. Yeah, Jesus had the crowds, but He really discipled the 12, the 3, the 1. I can probably be disciple and be effective with 2, maybe 3 people, because I'm pouring out life into them. They did life with Jesus. So disciple making is different than doing church. If you do church, you may not get a disciple, but if you make disciples, you will have a church. So when we build disciples, we make disciple makers. Jesus did this for only 3 years, and here we are. That's His neuroscience behind it. This is what He did. He did life with them. Some of us are busy. Parents are busy. Our children are probably way busier than when we grew up. So how do we make disciples and disciple makers when everyone's busy? That's the critical part. Because we all want the method. But here's the problem. Methods are many. Principles are few. Methods will always change. But principles never do. God's principles are timeless. That's why we go to His Word and say, "What are You saying to us?" You can use technology, yes, but that will change. All the methods we use will change, but godly principles, which is what this is, these are principle-based, and you can apply it to whatever context you're in. What we're going to do is take maybe about 2 to 3 minutes. I want you to do something with what we've already been talking about. Come up with some questions you want to ask, some questions, and you can even ask yourselves. But we want to hear what you're saying because we want to learn from you too. We want to learn from each other. Some questions on these 5 C's and disciple making and making disciple makers. We'll give you about 2 to 3 minutes. You can go back into your groups that you're in because you're already friends. So that's good. So let's take 2 to 3 minutes and let's come up with some questions. Okay. I love conversation. It's so good. So maybe we can ask us as a community some questions. Anybody wrote down their questions? I know you guys are still talking. There's a lot to unpack.
I know everybody's. Yeah, still we want to leave some time. I know that we're getting close to wrapping up. And this is a hot topic. So it's good that you guys are talking this through.
Okay, let's go with a question. Who has a question? Let's get a really tough one so we can answer it together. What's a good question? Who has a good question? Okay, right here. Perfect.
I got a question. So, I am competent. Yeah, I'll roll it. So we were discussing, I think that this ties into a lot of just a broad thing of what all these groups that we're doing right now in this moment are talking about, and that's, you know, the next generation and just some of the issues that the world is having. And a lot of it is that the next generation is, they just want authenticity. She brought that up. And I am really, that's something that God has been putting on my heart is just like, how does it look to be super authentic, even to people who you don't relate to, but just to show them that you truly like just care for them and you want them to walk this walk in life with Christ together and for them to feel welcome. So I think that discussion just opens up a lot. Like we're in youth ministry and not, you know, all of you may not be, but some of you may. It's easy for me to connect to the youth that I relate to in some ways, but I really want to reach the kids who, you know, I can't relate to at all, but just for them to be like my brother in Christ or sister in Christ, and just for them to know that I'm super, just you are so welcome in my circle with Christ, and just how to reach that group of people.
Yeah, the differences that we have, which is good, because how many of you love vanilla ice cream? Vanilla. Okay, how many love chocolate? Okay, how many chocolate lovers will never eat vanilla? Yeah, see, you'll never. I'm not eating vanilla. So Kobe has a really good point. Kobe's point is very
valid.
It's very valid. And the truth is, I'm not going to reach the chocolates.
Right.
I'm not. I'll reach the vanillas. But this person who likes vanilla eats vanilla and chocolate. So this person who loves vanilla and chocolate will reach the people that I just can't reach. So I got to be okay with that. I was telling Bunny earlier that I had this. Man, this was so on me, and I'm still battling with this part. It's this is Bunny. I was discipling her for maybe, I don't know, 15 years. Maybe 15 years I was discipling Bunny. And she's doing such a great job. She just got a pastoral license. And so yay you. And you got – I mean, no, this is fictitious.
No. This is not real.
It's not real. But this
giving
is,
you an
this,
example.
Yeah, this is how yeah. –
Although I am licensed.
Although you are licensed and credentialed, and it only happened – anyway. So, but this is what I used to do. It's like, okay, I'm so proud of you. And guys, you know, she was raw when she came to me. You know, she didn't have it all together. But, hey, I discipled her, and now she's doing great. And, yeah, so she's going to be sharing with us today. I'm so proud of you. Welcome, Bunny Correa. And then, so I feel good about myself. But what I don't do is bring up, this is Michael. And I discipled him for about 10 years. He's in prison now. He's far from Christ. And so I just want you to know. See the difference? I make discipleship about me, and I feel good about it. What about Michael? Who's caring for him? Well, I'm gonna stick by Bunny's side because now she's successful. Or do I journey with Michael and I say, Bunny, you're okay, I leave the 99. I go looking for this one lost sheep. I got to stay by your side, Michael. I'm not going to leave you. I'll go off the cliff with you. And how Jesus did it, I'll die for you. Are we willing to do what Jesus said? I'm glad I didn't use you as the other person, but you another question.
Well, actually, to go back to what Colby is saying, because that's a question a lot of people are asking, like, how do I? But what keeps us? I mean, it goes back down to our perspective. What keeps me from going into the nursery and blessing the babies? What keeps me from going to the children and seeing the 3-year-olds, the 4-year-olds, and seeing them as leaders in future? What keeps me from all of this is from because we think it has to be done a certain way. However, I have 4 children and I have 7 grandbabies. My 4 kids are very different. Very, very different. And then you add the grandbabies who are very, very different. And they got to see grandma, they got to see mom or grandma as authentic. Well, what does that mean? It means I don't perform. You see the same person here as you see on the pulpit. You see the same person in the grocery store. That's my decision to live the changed life. It doesn't, I'll speak differently to each one depending on how they receive. Our youth ministries, because he was the youth pastor before I became in the youth, his youth ministry, chaotic. His youth ministry
was so good.
It was a lot of fun. It was very different, and we joke about it because when I started to do youth ministry, it looked very different.
Too organized. That's just my opinion.
It wasn't not just organized, but the kids that we reached.
Yeah,
because
it was good.
He wasn't raised in a Christian home, and he, you know, did his all the crazy
street
things.
Smarts kind of
yes.
thing. That's why it was chaotic.
I was raised in a Christian home, but then at a very early age was removed out of that home because I became crazy. And so when I fell in love with Jesus again and then started to do youth ministry, the only way I knew how was to just love these kids. Very, very different types of kids. I couldn't reach them all, so I needed the Sheldons to go and reach the gamers. I didn't know how to play Xbox back in the day when Xbox was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how to play Halo because I got me, you know.
You get pretty good at it, too.
I got really good because I'm competitive.
True.
But you have to be competitive to be in youth ministry.
Yeah.
Because you got to school them and show them what's up.
school them.
Yeah. And so you need each other. This is why the point is we need one another. You cannot build your youth ministry on what you look like. It has to be diverse, and we need to include others so that we can reach the vanillas, the chocolates, the mint chocolate chip, and the rocky roads. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to be able to just love them. And it doesn't mean that you're going to love them all, but you're not going to relate to them all.
Yeah, that's okay.
But Jesus does.
Yeah.
And the Jesus in us can relate to the Jesus in them. And if they don't have Jesus, then we love them where they're at because we just live the changed life. And then we come alongside of the journey and we just partner up with what God's doing in them. We don't have to say, God, tell me what you're doing. God, tell me. All he's saying is, just go love. Feed my sheep. Love me, feed my sheep. Love me, feed my sheep. The more I'm in love with Jesus, the easier this I can feed because I can learn how to do all of these things. When I first got married, all I heard my husband say is, I like Hamburger Helper. And I went, perfect. And then after 2 months of Hamburger Helper, he said, I also like chicken. And I was like, okay. So then I started to just cook chicken. He goes, well, you know, there's other things I like. Is there anything? I said, I don't know how to do this. And so then I decided to go, okay, wait. I know that there's Food Network, and I know I can go to the library and look at a cookbook. And I just slowly started to learn. And what, after 30 years, I'm like, I'm not only in love with cooking, now it's like I want to cook for you, and I want to cook for you, and I want to cook for you because I fell in love with cooking. Mm. Because I was motivated by love. When we're motivated by our love with Christ, then we can do all things.
And what's cool about that is, yes, absolutely, is that in the beginning, when a youth came up to me, young adult or anyone, said, hey, what do I do? My friend is asking this question. I said, bring him to church. Bring him. You got to invite him. Bring him. Or, you know, let's meet somewhere. Let's talk. Now it's, what do you think? I don't know. I don't know nothing. Well, how's your relationship with Christ? Well, I know a little bit about Christ. Well, what do you know about Christ? I know he saved me, died for my sins. I know he's real. Okay. What is your friend asking? They're asking, what do I do in this relationship? Okay, just tell them about your relationship with Jesus.
Yep,
and then go from there. Tell them your story. I got to be okay with people not coming to me. I got to be okay with that. I got to be okay with someone else getting the credit. If we don't care who gets the credit, the kingdom of God is built.
Right.
If we want to know, if I want the credit, I can build a church.
Yep.
But if I'm building the kingdom of God, I don't care who gets the credit. Give money the credit. Doesn't matter. Because it comes down to Christ. Other questions? I don't want to take up your time. I have a question. Okay, in the back.
What do you do if you have more young people than you've got youth leaders, so you really don't have enough people to disciple? Do you bring other people? You're showing us this discipleship model, but the model a lot of us have seen has been youth leaders with a lot of charisma and a bunch of kids. And so how do you get them all discipled if the youth leaders can't disciple all of them?
What is your name? David. Thank you, David. Such a good question. I don't know.
Hey, that's a good thing to have, though.
Because in Foursquare, we have a bylaw or laws that says you got to have
ratio,
right? You got to have like 1 leader to three. We can't really do that.
Yeah.
But you can build one person up or two. Like really invest in one or two. You're right. We can't do all 12. Or 15. Sorry, you had
I was going to agree. You can do life with them. You can do things outside. You can really do life. One of the things that I do is I'm an observer, so I observe the kids with the greatest influence. I watch. There are certain kids that will come into your youth ministry that have just presence, and a lot of kids gravitate to them, and I go out of my way to build a relationship with that young man or young woman, and then I bring them aside and say, help me. Mm-hmm. Can you help me real quick? I would love your help because this is what I see what's happening, and if you can just help me, and I will use, usually they're the big football players. Usually
In our culture.
Because it's works. We have a lot of Polys, right, about Polynesians and whatnot. My boys are massive football players, or they used to be. They're still massive, but they don't no longer play football. But I used to say, you know, with those that have influence, because I can't do it on my own. They're not coming for me. They're coming for Jesus, or they're coming for the food. We just say, hey, if it's food, perfect. All I need is 15 minutes, and the Holy Spirit needs less than that. If we're creating an environment of acceptance and love, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Yeah, there's one more question.
And the journey with others is out of the church context. Sometimes it's they got to be in the youth ministry, in the church. I can go to their soccer games. I can go to their graduation parties. I can invest in them. That's why I can only invest in 2 or 3 people. I can't invest in 10 or 15 or even 30 or 300. I can't. I got to realize that. I know the scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that has to be in context too. I can't lift 500 pounds. Does that mean the scripture is wrong? No, it's just in the wrong context. Okay, question.
This is not really like a question. It's I also can relate to what you're talking about because I'm a youth leader too. And we don't have enough youth leaders to manage the youths in my church. But one thing I've started doing, my husband is the youth leader, I'm the assistant leader. We've started appointing leaders within the youths based on the Christ the Firm Foundation. So you start with the ones you have and build and do life, make disciples with maybe 2 or 3, and then make them leaders amongst the youth group that you have. Another thing we do is we have quarterly meetings in my place, in my house, and we just kind of feel through and just talk and just relax and we do life. And maybe share the word of God with each other. Or have them write on a paper topics, burning topics that they're concerned about. And we just have a nice fun time and pray together. That way, that gives you a feel, like a temperature of where they are and how they feel. And then that could help you when you're organizing maybe your youth lead meeting, you can address those topics, those issues. The Holy Spirit knows you cannot reach everyone, but he knows the hearts of the youth of those. He knows their heart. He knows where they are. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes it's just hanging around with you at house and at home, and the Lord can use that situation, that environment, to reach them where they are. And then pray that the Lord will provide the resources and the people to help you and support you. You do your part, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest.
You'll just have a different problem on your hand after that. They won't leave.
Yeah, they'll sleep over. There's a pastor friend of mine who he planted a church, and I said, hey, you're gonna want to build up the nursery and the young ones right now to be your future disciple makers. And he said, okay, got it. Now it's 10 years later, and he says, we have no youth, we have no leaders. I said, what happened to the other ones? He said, what other ones? I said, you had them in your church. They were 7 years old at that time. They were 7. Yeah, but we just kept looking for leaders. They're looking for 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 20-year-olds. We have to make disciples. If we wait 10 years for a leader to show up and then we put them into leadership positions, we could have had been way more effective if I invested in 2 or 3 7-year-olds for 10 years. Like, why are we waiting? And what we're not doing is forcing, right? We're not forcing this kid, you need to do this, you need to do this. It's you're journeying with others for the intentional, spirit-led purpose of helping them be changed by their relationship with Jesus too. I'm not going to make them be the worship leader. They're going to be called by God to do something. We're all called to Christ. But it's out of that relationship with Jesus Christ that everything else flows out of. I'd rather have someone who is competent at doing something behind the stage that can sing very well but is not called to lead worship, than to make them lead worship because they can sing very well, but that's not what they're called to do. Like, if we walk alongside of someone, we can help them be changed by their relationship with Jesus too, not just put them in positions. It's all about relationship with Christ. The positions and competency, those things start to happen and begin to come up when we're building that, rather than the other way around. Oh, yeah.
This model is unique and very practical. My question is, what makes it peculiar to, and that's really what we discussed here, what makes it peculiar to the young people? Would it not work anyway?
What this is good for, I mean, why this works is because it's neuroscience. It has to do with how we're created. And it'll work in every culture because in my culture, I use a lot of technology. In other cultures, they don't have the technology, but they do have Christ, community, character, calling, competency. These principles can be used in every context, however you need to use it. That's why this is the recipe. When we are able to build upon Christ, build that community where character is formed and established, where people have a unique calling, and then we're going to see people's competency, then everything else falls into place however you want to use the tools. Like Pastor Bunny was saying, you have all the ingredients, or even if you love building something, you have all the tools. You can have all the tools, but if you don't know how to use them, then what good is having all the tools? So what we're not giving you is the tools. We're giving you the how-to with Christ community. Then whatever tools you want to use, you can apply this to. Because methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, but principles never do. Are we good on time?
We are over time.
Okay.
So we are going to conclude with our last thing in conclusion, that the only way to do this is together.
So I'm going to pray for them.
Yep.
We use this thing called salt. Explain what that is.
So salt, and this actually came about in our youth ministry maybe about 25 years ago. We used to have this group of kids, and we called them our salt, serving and learning together, where we was doing things together. And it became a model of how we do things, because we cannot be siloed. Silo leads to death. We weren't created to be isolated. We were created to be in community. We were created to be in this together, like the authentic relationship that God modeled, who God is. And so we get to model after that. We get to live in that. So that's what it is. Salt, we're the salt of the earth, serving and learning together.
And I have this gentleman who's turning 40 this year, who I walked alongside of ever since he was a teenager. And he was supposed to be, in my mind, the next youth pastor. He went to Life Bible College, did all the things, and went through all of our discipleship programs, did all the things. But I also did life with him. He does come to our church. He is dating someone. He's not married to them. He's been through some crazy things. He is not the youth pastor. But it doesn't matter right now. He doesn't need to be in the church as the youth pastor. He's a teacher, and he dies on the inside. Well, he was, and he would tell me things like, man, I went this route. I should have been this route. I say, hey, slow down. You know how many kids you're reaching? Do you love Christ? Yeah, I do. How's your community? I'm part of it. It's okay. How's your character? I can work on that. Okay. You're still called. And yeah, you're really good at things. Who did God give you right now? These kids. Love on them. When you love on them and you're faithful with what you have, then God will build upon that. Be faithful in the little. So they don't have to be in church. They can be in the workplace. They can be in college. Yep. They can be around the world. But if you have one or two people that you're discipling for life, they're going to reach people you'll never reach.
Yep. The church isn't a building.
The church is not a building. It's not a building. It is people. Lord God, thank you for this group right here. We pray your blessing over them. Thank you for their willingness to serve you, to love you, to help others find you. And may you walk with them, Lord. Holy Spirit, empower them to do the impossible. In your name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here.
Have a good rest of your time here. God bless.